What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
So, as a occasional midday show host, are you aware of the way we say Dansby Swanson on the show?
I'm not helping.
It's very heavy Southern extreme accent where we all say Dansby.
Because of this,
do we have the audio?
Dansby Swanson.
So, if you were wondering what that was in the group thread, that was it.
There we go.
Dansby.
Now it's good to have fun with names.
Poor Dansby. Do you think he knows about this? It's starting to get a little much.
I wanted to be a cowboy, baby.
For one, two, three, Dansby Swanson.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, did everybody stay up late to watch the Cubs game? Did you?
Oh, I did.
Oh, yeah.
I was already up. I was watching baseball and then basketball and then more baseball and then more basketball after the Cubs.
This is the time. This is the beautiful time.
Can I give a shout out?
Yeah.
Happy Short King Week to those who celebrate 5'5 to 5'9. I love short kings. I will always elevate a short king.
Says a 6'2 guy.
But that's why, I'm an ally to my short kings.
You say that.
Hey, I didn't realize we had a week, man.
Listen, we celebrate.
Women get a day, it's often popping. Or do we get a month now? I'm not sure.
I mean, you get whatever you want. Make the most of it. Be like the 9 Cubs and White Sox. Make the most of your opportunities.
My God. We broadcast live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Rahimi and Harris. Marshall Harris is back from Philly.
I am back.
You are back.
It was a great time.
We already have a request on the text line, but I think we should hold off because this is a short show and we don't have a lot of time.
Right. We can recircuit that Monday, we'll say.
Yeah, it says 630. Layla, Marshall owes an explanation about his mom making him go to prom.
This goes back
to last Friday. He thinks we forgot. We did not forget. Let's hear about it. That's a topic that we can revisit. We've got a big media conference in town, so I'm going tomorrow because I'm speaking. You're going on Friday.
Yes.
So we are dividing and conquering this week because the Score is representing at this big media conference. So we're looking forward to that as well. Let's get our crew introduced. We've got Ray Diaz. Ray, I'm not going to tell anybody your height. You let them think what they want.
Hey, man.
6'8".
Robbie Triano, I have no idea how tall you are.
I'm 6'2". I'm an ally like Marshall as well.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Why are you looking at me? I'm short every day.
Yeah, you're short every day. Your demographic is part of the problem why I have to elevate these short kings. Not you specifically, but you know the deal. Women who are between, let's say, 4'11 and 5'4 are out here talking about 6 foot.
No,
six
I don't.
Foot.
No, I'm telling you, I can't hear what happens up there. It's really frustrating.
That's a good point, actually.
No, I used to date a guy who was a low talker, and he was a foot taller than me. And I was like, well, more than a foot. And I'm like, what happens? Like, I can't even hear you.
Even when we have conversations, if we're out and in a bar situation,
I can't hear
you're
you.
You're like looking at me like, I didn't catch what you just said. And I have to like bend down. I get it.
I wish that we were laughing about it, but it's true. Cause I don't wear heels when we're out either. Like I dressed up at work forever. So I didn't want to do that in my off days.
All you're doing with that comment though, is validating that these women don't care about what the guy says as long as he's 6 foot.
See, but I do. So it's frustrating. I want to listen to people. Speaking of that.
You know who's 6'2"?
Who's that?
Ryan Presley. I just want to let you know.
Oh, man. Kyle Tucker's 6'4". Why do I know that? Log on to twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score if you want to see us. And our score video team is Matt Anaya, Connor O'Donnell, and Jenna Duddleston. We are happy to have them. We are not happy about the debacle that happened last night. Should we play the game of what was your favorite horrible historical stat about this game that made us all crazy?
All right, what's your favorite historical stat about this game that made you go crazy?
Well, it actually came from Alex Pavlovich, who covers the Giants. It didn't even come from any of the Cubs' detail.
That's usually not a good sign when it comes from the opposing team's vantage point.
The 14-5 loss, in case you're wondering, if you needed to know what the final score was, F/11. The 9 runs that the Giants scored are a franchise record for the most runs the Giants have ever scored in an extra inning. They scored 8 in games in 1929 and 1940. Blech.
That seems like a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Anytime you can bring up something that is from a long time ago. Or we could just go with Optistat. Ryan Presley is the only major league reliever to allow 8-plus earned runs in a game, not get an out, and take the loss since earned runs became official in both leagues in 1913. No matter how you slice this, it was bad. The Cubs battle their way back to tie the game at 5. You know it's going to go to extras where they had a chance, a legitimate one. We'll get into that later because we've got to start with first the absolute unfortunate debacle out of somebody that the team has trusted to be their closer. This was the exact opposite of that.
Not just trusted to be their closer, gone out and convinced to come waive his no trade clause to be their closer. And I think we all had kind of a moment where when Porter Hodge had to pitch in the 9th inning in a safe situation, and then we found out after the game that he had his knee drained. I was a little more concerned than maybe the average person because of his age.
A couple
age.
Weeks ago. Not like you're talking about yet.
I was concerned. But then I saw him after that, and he looked good. I was like, okay, everything's fine. But then they just didn't need him because they score a lot of runs. And so you're thinking, okay, at least he'll be fresh. And remember, part of my thing about this entire season is you never have enough relievers, and the less...
That shouldn't be just this season.
Well, that's true as well. The less you have to use your relievers all the time in the first half of the season, the better off you're going to be when it matters, which is after the All-Star break.
The fact that we're even talking about bullpen arms and being fresh and trying to figure out when before July that this starts to get tenuous, that is a huge issue in and of itself. What's a bigger one, unfortunately, is the pattern here. You know, it was Hector Neris in free agency last year. They paid a lot of money to him. They paid draft capital, prospect capital, to get Ryan Presley, in this case, prospect. So you trade for a guy. You're also picking up the salary there. You've committed to him. And once again, we're trying to figure out what's going on. And part of the reason, you know, he was amenable to leaving Houston was because the usage was different once they got Hader. You knew who was throwing the 9th for the Astros at that point.
Because Hader has undeniable closer swing and miss stuff.
Josh Hader was also originally drafted by that organization. So there's a lot there as far as developing him, trading him to the Brewers at the time, I think, for Mike Fiers and Carlos Gomez.
I'm okay with the big market development program, as I call it, where you draft a guy really high and then you trade him to get stuff to help you win now, but then you get him back after he's been developed fully by the other organization, and you know the other organization cannot pay him. It's like a little small market feeder program. I'm okay with that. By the way, Ryan Presley, there were concerns about his swing and miss stuff coming into last night. He had a 2.08 ERA at that point. His ERA now, after recording no outs, 7.23.
It's not just that, unfortunately. It's the other numbers that are scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 4.91 FIP.
It's not great.
For a number for FIP, that is bad. That is terrifying.
Independent.
Presley did have the 208 ERA coming into the evening, but that 4.91 FIP is that, and that was prior. And that's when it gets scary, is that's when you're wondering at what point is this starting to show itself. That's always the stat where FIP indicates luck in baseball a lot of the time. And you can have that. You know, you can have those stats, and as long as they're winning, you're not talking about this. But unfortunately, here we are because of a 9-run 11th inning. And now we're talking about the Cubs having to sleep fast. They've got the game on the score, by the way, that you're going to hear coming up at about 12:30, 12:45. So it either way, like, this is something that we knew was fragile to begin with, just the situation as a whole. But now there has to be another decision made as to what happens moving forward. I understand why Craig Counsell wanted him to finish the inning. He's talked to us about how he hates to lose. You see it in the difference with his playoff and his regular season ERA. He's a veteran. He's earned that respect. But unfortunately, the situation told on itself. The Giants were looking for that slider, and it didn't matter.
The fastball didn't matter. The slider was therefore ineffective. I look at it like this. I like my closers, and this is a highly fantasy baseball situation where I look at the strikeouts per nine. It's like, I like my guys into the double digits and, as I say, approaching puberty. You know, I like 11, 12, 13. What? That's why I like my strikeouts per nine. Like, at that,
there's no way this analogy gets easier.
Wait, no, listen.
Like, anytime a grown man talks about approaching puberty on the radio.
On the numbers. So listen.
Four strikeouts per nine.
Hey, we all heard the disclaimer. It was out there.
No, let's say it again and again.
So listen, for the last nine seasons, this is what that number looked like for Ryan Presley coming into the season.
Oh, outstanding.
12.8, 13, 12.3, 11.9, 12.4, 11.4, 12.1, 10.2. Even last year, which was a bad season, it was still 9.2 strikeouts per nine innings.
That'll do.
This year, 3.5. The man has five strikeouts in 13 innings. That's not good for any type of pitcher.
When the slider doesn't bite the same and opposing teams are looking for it and you tag somebody up for nine runs, horrifying. Let's listen to what Ryan Presley had to say after the game. We want to play it in the full context because he deserves that respect.
Thought I executed my pitches really well. Wasn't really leaving anything over middle part of the plate. You know, I just didn't get my job done. I was the only one tonight that didn't do my job.
How do you digest things after just a night like that?
I mean, it's tough. It sucks. But, you know, got to get ready to go tomorrow.
Because of the recent issue with the knee, I think people jump to that. Is everything okay? Is everything all right right now with you?
Yeah.
Health-wise?
Yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, it's just, body felt great. Just, you know, just like I said, didn't do my job tonight. Everybody else did.
I think Craig also a big part of why you haven't been used as frequently, just a game situation thing. Is that kind of correct with the last, whatever, 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, like, I haven't really had much opportunities to throw, but, you know, that's not on anybody but myself. You know, I have to stay ready. I have to be off the mound all the time. You know, I got to be, you know, proactive and staying sharp, and I guess I need to get a little bit more work off the mound when stuff like that happens. But, like I said, I just, you know, it's all on me tonight. I didn't do my job.
I appreciate him taking responsibility. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. He said all the right things that you would want to hear out of somebody in his situation last night.
I think the main thing is he just doesn't have what he used to have, as far as I can tell.
Right.
As far, you're seeing it. I'm seeing it. People at home are seeing it. Certainly Craig Counsell is seeing it.
Unfortunately, so did the opposing team.
Yeah, and so you're asking yourself, if he can't be the closer, if he can't strike people out anymore, if he can't get swings and misses, what do you do with him? I think that's the next question for Craig Counsell and company.
And this is not the question that you wanted to ask when you decide to trade for him and you are confident that he's got more than enough left in the tank. Like, the fact that we're even talking about this on May 7th. Yeah, I know he's 36. Everybody's aware of that part, but he's had enough years to the resume where you thought, especially, that he was going to be the right person for that specific role. You didn't want to get into the situation you were in last year. The good news about the situation that you were in last year is that you found out a lot about Porter Hodge. I don't know how you don't look at this, at least right now, and say he's got to be your ninth inning guy moving forward. And the other part is, Brian Presley had that knee drain. Is this a situation where maybe it's worse than what everybody thought and he ends up on the injured list? Was that a part of it? I don't know. Maybe something about the slider and the knee are connected in a way that would make it make sense. But regardless, it's just a frustrating situation all around. The very least you can do is put Porter Hodge in the ninth inning for now.
So today, tomorrow, for the foreseeable future, you're changing roles. But back to my question, if Ryan Presley loses his closer job, what exactly do you do with him? And here's the thing.
Have him throw the eighth?
Were we lulled into a false... Well, I don't know. I don't think the eighth is any less important. If you're in a save situation or a hold situation at that point in the eighth inning, I don't... If you're moving out of the ninth, why is he pitching the eighth? It would be my question. Coming into yesterday, he had thrown, I think, six scoreless outings in a row. Seven, I think. Yeah, seven scoreless outings in a row. And so... Was it a false, like, lull to sleep situation because he wasn't giving up runs, and then he has the clunker, as you said, as we believe both, you're allowed to have a clunker every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
It was just so spectacular, it could not be ignored.
It's also just different when you know how old he is, when you know what brought him here and why and how. And you're facing a team that is really your foil. These two teams have... one game separating them. Giants are 23-14, and the Cubs are 22-15. And we're looking at this through a lens that is of a higher standard. Here's the other issue. The Cubs used a billion pitchers yesterday. Colin Ray, Drew Pomeranz, Brad Keller, Dana Palencia, Chris Flexen, Porter Hodge, Ryan Presley, and Caleb Thielbar. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 pitchers. You're trying to figure out who's left today, and you're trying to win this series against one of the better teams in the National League.
Yeah, it's a pivotal game. You could argue it's one of the most pivotal games they've had all season. When you fold into the context of this series, another NL West opponent, this is a team trying to make a push for the playoffs, and you've played a lot of them, I know. But you also look at the fact that they have the record that they have despite playing in the National League West. Also, you look at the fact that this is a team that you could see down the road, and you will see again in the regular season. It's a chance for a statement game because it's a bounce back, because this is the worst loss they've suffered all season long, losing by 9 runs.
Let's hear Craig Counsell as to what he said after the game.
They couldn't finish hitters, essentially. I mean, that was it. It snowballed a little bit, and you know, we're essentially, you know, we got to a point where we're just trying to get through the inning, and we just didn't play. The last 10 or so outings have been, I think he's given up one run in the last 10 outings. So it's been pretty good. The swing and miss we're struggling with, and that's the finish in the hitter. But he's been making pitches for sure. Just not tonight.
Here's the issue. You have a day game today. You've got a day off. And then you have the Mets in New York. Your day doesn't get any easier. Your weekend doesn't get any easier. Your bullpen is going to have to work yet again. You can't have guys go in 5 innings. You got to have them at least go 6, or hope they can, against the Mets.
So the Mets are really good. The Mets might be the best team in the league, although the Dodgers have turned it back on as of late.
The Dodgers are doing what you expected them to do.
Yeah. So Mets are in the mix. And you're looking at this now with that day off. That kind of resets everything.
The Mets are 23-14.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're
13-3 at home.
I was about to say, they're outstanding at the place they call home, Citi Field. So that's why this is such a big pivotal game today. Win this series and you feel good about the home stretch, and knowing that you have real challenges ahead of you with the New York Mets. I mean, that's a series where you can find out, okay, you've done so well. And it seems like this is almost every series. But I think the biggest thing for them finishing this and having an off day in which they can say, we finished strong, we're good, and put that what happened last night behind them. Because right now, it's lingering. It has to be.
Yeah, we're going to linger on it too, actually. In fact, we've got to go over what happened, not just in the infield, but in extras for the Cubs last night, because they could have very well put this away before it even got to 11. We're going to do that next. Rahimi and Harris, Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and you on the score.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And now Colin Ray, the tall, lanky right-hander, fires. Here's a bouncing ball toward third. The throw is going to go to first base too late. And the throw bounces away from the first baseman, Bush. Birdie couldn't get the ball out of his glove. He wanted to throw a home run, but the ball stuck. And then he belatedly tried to throw to first and made a low throw that got away from Bush. That'll be a throwing error charged on Birdie.
Oh, yeah. That happened in this game, too. Pat Hughes calling the game on the score, of course. And as a friendly reminder, we have a shorter show today because we are leading up to Cubs baseball. The Cubs and Giants wrap up their series this afternoon at Wrigley. Pre-game coverage begins at 12:45. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer have first pitch at 1:20 on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. And before we get into the infield discussion,
It's my fault.
No, it's great. I love the stats rabbit hole that we just went down because Marshall asked me during the break, when do you think Justin Verlander retires? And I was like, whenever he wants. And then he's like, no, seriously, he's 42. To which I said, I thought he was 41. And that's when we started to get a little crazy.
Well, I was like, well, how old was Nolan Ryan when he retired? And you were like, 45. I was like, yeah, he was in his mid-40s, definitely. We found out his age 46 season was way back in 1993.
I'm sure. Shorting everybody a year. Verlander, Rich Hill, apparently. Rich is 45.
Without a job, but you think he wants to pitch?
It says he's planning on pitching. He has concepts of a plan. And you know somebody's going to sign him.
Yeah, because arms always falter. It's just a matter of arms falter in each organization.
He's a lefty. So you know what's going to happen. Rich Hill's going to get a job. And as long as Rich Hill can get a job, so can Justin Verlander.
So I don't know if you know this, but on Baseball Reference, when you look at a career stats thing, you see bold and you see italicized. The bold means the player led the league. The italic means the player led all major leagues. And what was interesting about pulling up Nolan Ryan and seeing that he pitched his age 46 season for the Texas Rangers, his final season, is that there was some bold late. I was like, what is it? Bold and italicized? What is this? This man at age 40, 41, 42, and 43, each of those seasons led the league in strikeouts with 270, 228, 301, and then 232. And that wasn't even the biggest part. The biggest part was in his age 44 season in 1991, this man had a whip, because we were just talking about whips, 1.006 to lead the major leagues.
I never get tired of reading his stats. Tell him how many strikeouts he's got for his career while we're here.
5,714. That's all-time record.
Won't ever be beaten.
He also, now he does also lead major leagues in all-time walks because he pitched a lot of innings with 2,795.
Do we care?
No, we don't.
Hell no, we don't care. That is ridiculous, though. To think about dominating the league at that point in your late stages of your career to that extent for three straight seasons, it's hard to put into words.
So maybe Verlander will pitch till he's Nolan Ryan's 46, and that'll be his swan song.
Well, credit to Steve Greenberg of the Sun-Times, because that was an article that I was perusing back in the early days of the game last night. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good point. There was a chance Justin Verlander was going to become a Cub. That's something that we should discuss. And then it all just imploded horribly. So let's go back to the details that weren't the 11th inning.
Like John Birdie playing defense?
I think you might be right, sir.
What would I be right about, Layla?
Say it.
Nicky Lopez should play every day at third base until they figure out what's going on with Matt Shaw. And Matt Shaw's been doing well in AAA, but he is the best solution they have right now because he plays in the field. He's a plus fielder at whatever infield position you want to put him at, second through third base. And after seeing John Birdie and his decision-making in the field last night, it just re-solidified, you know, what should happen. Now, I'll be interested to see if John Birdie gets the start today because you got a lefty on the hill and Robbie Ray. Birdie's got good numbers against him. But for me, getting solid play on defense at the hot corner is more important than getting offensive production out of the hot corner right now for this team.
Yeah, that's the division, right? That's it. It's whether or not you want Birdie's bat over defensive consistency. And I appreciate the concept of TFN. And in this case, it's till further notice, because I feel like that's what we're dealing with when it comes to whatever this plan has to be at third until you feel like Matt Shaw is ready to come back.
And the other thing is, we've already seen so many different people at third base, and we're only a fourth of the way, you know, not even a fourth of the way into the season. And so that's their hope and dream. But they need to be, I mean, I'm sure they are looking at other options, right?
And Nicky Lopez ends up pinch hitting for John Birdie, but so did Vidal Brujan and Justin Turner.
They have a lot of people who can play third base, but they don't have a lot of people who can play third base.
What's funny is Justin Turner, that was his original position for many, 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 many years.
But he's a little long in the tooth now for that.
I
give him credit?
I feel like they've passed that. Oh, yeah, because we were all talking about the sub for Justin Turner in the ninth. And then
Justin Turner comes up with a big hit to keep the inning alive and to bring Kyle Tucker to the plate, who then came up with a big hit to tie the game. And you're thinking, oh, here we go again with the Cubs. There were a lot of positives to take away from last night's game, but it doesn't outweigh what Ryan Pressly did in the 11th inning. And also what we saw with Pete Crow Armstrong and others, when all you need to do was put the ball in play.
I was going to say that. Yeah, I mean, you know how I felt about the at-bat last night. Last night was atrocious from Pete Crow Armstrong in the 10th. What's funny is Mark Grody and I were having the conversation on Monday whether or not he thought Pete Crow Armstrong was swinging for home runs. I thought that it was a matter of timing. We got our answer horribly in the 10th inning. Two on for PCA. And really, I think an at-bat that was going to show, if you're going to be judged how you want to be judged as a hitter, if you want to be the guy who is trusted and wants to be in the starlight, if you will, then there's no better example of what happened. Four straight sliders. Four straight sliders, which is what's going to happen to you when you're hunting fastball and you're young and they see what you're doing. He swings at three of them. Two of them were low and away out of the zone. Way low. And that bat looked like it was cutting through molasses. Big old swing. Looked like a ballet port-de-bras, you know, where your arms go like this. You reach them way out. Point is, you know what's happening at that point. There's one out prior to you. You've got two people on. If you as a veteran hitter or as a budding veteran hitter don't have approaches when it comes to both two strikes and extra innings and two outs, by the way, this is what's going to happen.
I was honestly shocked at what transpired. Because
I
thought
it was disappointing. Those balls were so outside of the zone. Like, where's your discipline?
Well, I was just shocked because I thought from a situational standpoint, PCA has been very good this season, right? Like, very good. And so from a situational standpoint, it seemed like what needed to happen was very clear. And the fact that it didn't matter because of the approach that was taken in that particular bat was just shocking to me, because I was like, I thought PCA had kind of turned the corner into a guy that you can definitely depend on in situations to do what needed to be done. But that was a rough at bat to watch. I was hard on the eyes, understanding that there were runners at second and third. So there's, you know, he didn't have to worry about the double play. It was just like, okay, just put the ball in play and you're probably going to be okay.
Shorten up that long O swing you had there where you're swinging for everything that's ever been in the history of any sort of strike zone.
They weren't down two. They weren't down at all. Just get the run home.
I don't know why that bothered me so much, but it was just the fact that the ball was so far and away, low and outside. And I'm like, man, what is this mess? Better than this?
It was one at bat. It was one game. It was one outcome. It's a 162-game season. I think we've just become accustomed to a certain standard when it comes to watching the Cubs hitters at the plate, specifically the ones who have been killing it all season long.
Learning moment for him. There's no doubt about that. But just there are certain at-bats that just really irk me, like the three-pitch strikeout, for example. And that was only one better, unfortunately. Like, you were hoping for a fastball and swung before the ball even was out of the dude's hand. Can't be doing that.
It was unfortunate, to say the least.
Bad timing. And that's the issue. If we could get every hitter to stop swinging at a slider low and away, they'd all be Hall of Famers. But this is a case where it's definitely a teaching moment. But as you said, was it the only issue? Then no, it was not.
Okay, so can I be a contrarian here just real quick? Because I've been known to do that. I just want to... Is it okay that it happened the way it did, though, because it was revelatory as far as the cracks with Ryan Pressly? We don't see that, at least not in that moment, if they get that run home.
Would you rather
deal with this earlier or later? That's kind of – the Pressly stuff was already there as far as the peripherals and the numbers and the analytics and what was not happening up to snuff, even though he was getting the desired results, which – games that the Cubs were winning.
Yeah, I mean, we've established all that. We talked about the FIP as well. If we know it, so do the Cubs. It's just a matter of how it was going to shake out. Sometimes games have a way of sobering you. We know that everybody is entitled to their clunker, but that was a hell of a clunker.
And it also just brought more attention to the actual issues that have been plaguing him all season long.
Well, it also has to do with the Cubs' bullpen. Like, when you decide that you're going to devote Colin Ray, for example, to a starter's role... When you potentially have now your two best starting pitchers out, one of them indefinitely, the other one out for more than what's left of the season, you're in a role where you can't keep affording to lose bullpen arms that you don't have. And I'm sorry, but the 60-day with Javier Assad is very much a 60-day that I don't care if it's retroactive. When he's back, he's back. But until then, this is what you're working with as a team.
No, I don't think we're counting on Javier Assad doing anything anytime soon, because he's still got to go through that entire rehab process again to build up everything else. I just think with Colin Ray, I'm okay with it. And he didn't have a great outing, but he did keep the Cubs in the game. Like, he didn't Ryan Pressly it, if you will.
Colin Ray is doing... He's doing not only what he's been asked to do, he's so far outperformed his expectations.
I agree with that.
To use the front office's scripture, since they like it so much. So even then, when you have an individual outperform his expectations, you still have others who potentially regress at times, because that's human. This is a good example of that. This entire game is a good example of it.
I think the issue... With the Colin Ray thing, is a little different, because he was your swingman anyway, your long. And the guy that's come in and replaced him in that role, Chris Flexen, has been fine. He hasn't given up any runs, so he's been fine. They just need more swing and miss stuff at the back end of their bullpen. The last 7, 8, 9 guys have to be guys who can sit guys down, who can just sit guy. Everything doesn't need to be in play. And Porter Hodge, Julian Merriweather to a certain aspect, and then Palencia, they have guys who have shown that they can actually sit guys down.
We've been asked if we're going to talk about the Sox game by 7-7-3. Five on it. I'm not going to say anything happily about that, unfortunately.
You know I'm not going to say anything happily
about
it. I know,
but we are going to talk about it. Ozzie Guillen had some really important comments about it. That was earlier today on Mully and Haas. So, yes, five on it is a place where we'll discuss it. That is at noon. Coming up next, by the way, I think we got some more clear language from Carter Hawkins when it came to talking about the plan for Cade Horton. As we sit here examining the pitching staff and the bullpen is what it is, it's good that we got some more information. So we're going to share that next. This is Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you on The Score.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The hesitancy is a no, I would say, you know, just trying to make sure it's the right time. I think that it's easier to work on things in the minors and sort of, and you know, he didn't pitch a lot last year. I think he pitched all last season, you know, he may well have debuted by now, but if he hadn't debuted, I think that we would, you know, you have a better sense of where he is. Whereas, like, you know, because he missed a lot of time last year, I think that it's been good to give him some foundation in Iowa. I'd say that.
That was Jed Hoyer answering, I thought, pretty well the question of whether or not there was hesitancy about bringing Cade Horton to the big leagues. This is Rahimi and Harris, Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and you. And we continue to talk about the Cubs as we get you ready for Cubs baseball at 12:45 here on The Score. I understand that we're going to focus on this as long as there is any sort of hiccup in the pitching staff, whether it be the bullpen, whether it be the starters. This is going to happen. The Cade Horton watch began before us, and we are just carrying the torch because every single start he makes is going to be monitored. He had a shoulder injury. He threw 75 pitches in his last outing, so I know they're still trying to stretch him out in Iowa. All of that makes sense. The question is when, as we try to figure this out. I don't think it's if he gets up here. It's when.
I wonder if they're trying to adjust for these days off and not use them because they don't have to use them and can keep everybody on regular rest. We saw like Chris Flexen was an option, right? And we saw him pitch last night. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I was like, but wait, aren't they off tomorrow, Thursday? And y'all were like, yes, they're off Thursday. And I said, well, then they don't necessarily need a starting pitcher as soon as we think they do. And so I wonder if they want to give that extra rest to the starters or if they will indeed bring somebody up for Imanaga's spot and if that is Cade Horton. I have mixed feelings on that. If you don't think he's ready, don't force it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you just showed that with your third baseman. What's the difference there? If that is the case, then yeah, you're not going to force it.
And the other thing is, if you do think he's ready, let's see what he's got. You know? You know, you talked about the number of pitches that he's been throwing. I mean, he's thrown at least 76 pitches. Well, he's thrown between 76 and 78 pitches each of his last four times out.
Right.
So, seems like they have an established range they want him to be in.
Yeah, he's on a clear pitch count of some sort.
So my question is that intentional for the duration or do they want to get that up to 90 to 100 pitches? Because let me tell you something. If he can only throw 78 pitches, the strain that would be put on the bullpen, it's like, okay, well, this doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
It doesn't make sense unless you have a plan where, say, it's he and maybe Pomeranz, you know, going and splitting the lion's share. Maybe it's a three-inning type of thing.
Or even Flexen in that kind of piggyback role,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, Flexen as well. I mean, that's a proven starter. Although we've seen Chris Flexen coming on in relief, as we mentioned.
So I don't necessarily have a problem with this idea that, you know, the bullpen needs more arms. The bullpen's always going to need more arms. That's my just general stance. You cannot have enough arms. Not at the beginning of the season, not in the middle of the season, not certainly not at the end of the season. But it's the how quality are your fireball arms as I look at them, not the Chris Flexens and the Drew Pomeranzes of the world, because those guys can be in like those piggyback multiple inning roles.
You're talking about the Daniel Palencia. Like if you're throwing triple digits,
an
what
inning
are you doing?
Yeah. Give me your inning and assure me that, you know, 8-9 times out of 10, you're going to get out of that inning unscathed.
Well, what's interesting is Chris Flexen threw the ninth last night. Like, that was something that we were all talking about in our group thread, you know, in the early times. I seriously feel like this game,
where's your dividing line?
This game was like 10 years long. I'm like, in the early ages of this game, I was reading about Justin Verlander and thinking, oh, maybe we should bring up how he was almost a Cub. And then in the late stages, I was like, oh, the offense has given them a chance. Oh, they're coming back. Oh, they have a chance to win. Oh, that's interesting. Flexen is on relief. Then the late stages were like, what was that at bat, PCA? And then the 11th happened. And then I just, you know, started singing Hello Darkness, My Old Friend.
Not Hello Darkness, My Old Friend.
I do that all the time. It's really common when the Sox get injured.
Or just common when the Sox are playing, period.
I mean, seriously, it's really when the
Sox
get injured.
Were going to win last night. I was like, you know what?
I turned that game on. What did I say to you? What did I say?
I already knew the situation. I just didn't want to, like...
You could tell. You could just tell watching it. I was like, oh, this smells like a walk-off.
Not related to what we're talking about right now, but the
Bobby
Sox, not only do they not have a closer, but I don't even think they understand what that situation would be like.
Their closer's Cam Boozer.
They have one save as a team.
Yeah, you know, they blow but I know teams who's coming win. On in the ninth.
Listen, I just be better. Be better, Sox. Be better. But to your point about Cade Horton, if they have a plan, I mean, surely they have a plan, right? And they had a plan before Shota Imanaga got hurt. Now, how much they adjust the plan without Shota Imanaga, that's the thing we're all kind of keeping an eye on here.
Well, luckily for us, Carter Hawkins was on with Spiegel and Holmes yesterday. So let's listen to what he has to say about that very thing.
We got to figure out what we're going to do, right? I mean, Shota's obviously on the IL. We have an off day. We have a lot of off days, so we can play around with things a little bit here in terms of being flexible with our pitching and then trying to make a decision. But yeah, I mean, we're having the conversation of, you know, how are we going to fill this hole, you know, while Shota's out. And, you know, certainly Cade is one of the guys in AAA that we'll be talking about. And, you know, we'll make those decisions. I think Cade and a lot of our guys on AAA, you know, Keegan Thompson has gotten stretched out. He's actually looking really good as well. I mean, those guys can all get major league outs. It's about being consistent. And then for Cade, you know, the thing that he's really been working on down there is landing his breaking balls. Get a lot of swing and miss stuff. So that gets him deep into counts. He gets a lot of foul balls, you know, things like that. And, you know, we want to try to have him be a little bit more efficient. And when he's landing his breaking balls, he's not going to get as deep into counts and be able to get deeper in the game. So that's what he's been focused on. You know, kind of the underlying aspect of that is just getting his delivery in a really good place. And, yeah, he's made some really good strides this year. And to your point, the results have been good. So I'm very encouraged by his progress. And he's definitely, you know, put himself on the radar prior to, you know, this Shota injury, and certainly we'll be in the mix here as we make these decisions.
Well, all of that actually just makes sense. That sounds like, first of all, it's a defined plan. I understand why you can't get much more into the details when you're trying to figure out. I would assume with the delivery, it's repetitive mechanics and trying to make it all a little more fluid and just committed more to muscle memory and that type of thing. Again, the pitch count, as we talked about, you don't want to throw just 75 pitches every time or thereabouts. So all of it makes sense. But the fact that he's acknowledging that Shota may affect the timeline, it should. As I've said before, you have Kyle Tucker for 1 year. That's all right now. So this is it. Sorry. You got to make all your decisions this year.
It's interesting you brought up Keegan Thompson. Because Keegan Thompson hasn't pitched more than four innings in any of his appearances in the minors.
And we've thought about him, but I don't know it was to necessarily that level as one of the discussed options.
I think of Keegan Thompson more as a guy that could come in and be in that. I was trying to think of who guys, if Chris Flexen became the next starter, guys who could come and be the next swingman. I was like, maybe Keegan Thompson could fill that role because he's got good stuff. He strikes people out. It's an interesting flex point at this point in the season because you're hoping no one else gets hurt, number one. And that was kind of the hope. Well, Justin Steele went down because we just had fresh in our mind the whole cramp situation.
It's May 7th.
Yeah, that's that's what I'm saying.
You can't hope that. It is not like you will be disappointed, perhaps even tomorrow.
No, that's
what I'm saying. And they're off tomorrow.
So Memorial Day is usually when I start to take my first like long, hard look. In fact, if the Cubs hadn't played the schedule that they've played to this point, I would be a lot more ho-hum, kind of like I was with the Bears 6 games in when they were 4-2. And I was like, yeah, they haven't done anything yet. Nothing that they have done has impressed me.
Our friend Mike Florio, who's on next, actually,
okay,
refers to early season wins as money in the bank.
Yes.
And that's the way you got to look at it.
Yes.
And then, you know, my next phrase, obviously, shorty what you drank.
I didn't know.
Literally just said that in the control room.
You got money in the bank. These are the rules. I don't make the rules. I unfortunately also don't make the rules when it comes to commercial breaks. Mike Florio next on The Score.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.